The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Visit coding.kariri.com. Indar Singh, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to your listening audience on Freedom 106.5.
Mm-hmm. All right, sir. So we're here to talk about labor. Now, you are former president of the All Trinidad Sugar and General Workers Trade Union. In terms of your works on the trade unions and stuff, what is the role of the trade union out there in terms of, Trinidad and Tobago and the general public?
Well, you are quite right that he was involved with the Old Trinidad Sugar and General Workers Trade Union for 19 years, and I did also serve the National Trade Union Center in the capacity as second vice president for quite a number of years. I quite could recollect about 10 years. But more importantly, that this coming Thursday will be the observance of Labor Day in Trinidad and Tobago once again.
Mm-hmm.
And where I sit, I think that the labor movement has played a critical role in nation building and the development of workers' rights and so on. But you have to understand that role and that contribution in the historical context over the years and where we are today in 2025. And beyond. From a historical point of view, the period 19, well, we could go back to even as far as the 1900s, the after World War One, and during the 1920s and 30s and so on. The socioeconomic conditions at the time was one that needed to be improved. Cost of living, the social and economic conditions, the wages paid to labor was horrendous. There was absolutely no health and safety in the work environment. And in 1934, because I like to put this in a proper historical context, it was a group of women on the Esperanza Sugar Estate out in Cuba in central Trinidad began an uprising against the establishment, the management, if I should use that phrase, on the Esperanza Sugar Estate. And that led what we would call ignited the flames of protest, or acted as a catalyst. And there was a series of labor disturbances between 1934 and 1937. Which culminated with the labor riots in Faizabad and at Charlie King Junction that led to the historical formation of the Oilfield Workers Trade Union at the time, and also the All Trinidad Sugar Estates and Factory Workers Trade Union under the leadership of Adrian Kola-Rienzi. Because when the labor riots had taken place, Rienzi and Butler were at the forefront of the struggle. And based on the dynamics and the very fact that the colonial authorities were looking to arrest Butler, Butler is said to have gone into hiding. And Adrian Kola-Rienzi carried the formal registration of both unions and, in fact, emerged to lead both unions at the time. That led, in addition to the labor rights, but the legal recognition of trade unions, the right to engage in collective bargaining and to engage in strike action. That was the historical context. And over the years, it progressed. And with the passage of time in 2025, you have legislation such as the Industrial Relations Act, the Retrenchment and Severance Benefit Act, the Occupational Safety and Health Workmen Compensation, and so on. And in recent times, within the last couple of years, you would have had a series of workplace-related accidents, whether it was at Faria, Naquan, Wassa, at if my memory serves me right, at the successor company to ArcelorMittal and so on, which resulted in the deaths of workers, and that has put on the front burner the need to address health and safety, the whole question of even the whether the collective bargaining process was free and fair and independent over the last 10 years and so on. These are the things that will continue to occupy the thought process of those who are charged with representation and advancing the interests of workers and the labor movement for the passage of time. And of course, as we are in 2025, we would also want to address the issue of the mental health of workers, which have come to the fore, especially with against what transpired in the COVID pandemic. In addition to that, we know for a fact there is a lot of migrant labor existing in Trinidad and Tobago. And how do we treat with migrant labor? We continue to hear of artificial intelligence, and I should not say the emergence, because artificial intelligence is in the workplace. It is happening at a global level and so on. And it is how it is going to impact on the work environment in Trinidad and Tobago. How do we deal with the issue of productivity? How do we address the whole question of whether a work-from-home policy is appropriate in the context of what we have seen in the last couple of years of traffic jams and how it is impacting upon people getting to work on time and so on. So again, a number of things as we go forward into beyond 2025, I think that labor leaders will have to address and look at in the context of how do they represent their membership.
All right, nice one. Thank you very much for that explanation there. What about labor movement getting involved in the politics? Do you see that? Do you see that really helps their members? Are they put it into a position to really help their members?
Well, it all depends on the ideological positioning of the party. I mean, from where I sit, the All Trinidad Sugar and General Workers Trade Union was always involved in politics under the leadership of people may not know, but you have to go back and do the history. Adrian Kularienzi, Bade Sagan Maraj, who led the union at one point in time, Basde Pandey, myself was involved in the political environment. And when you do the research, there were other unions that were historically affiliated to the People's National Movement. We must never forget there was the Council of Progressive Trade Union and the Trinidad and Tobago Labor Congress, before there was the dissolving or the dissolution of both entities that led to the formation of the National Trade Union Center. Then there was a split, and then you had the emergence of NATUC remained, and you had the Joint Trade Union Movement, you had the Federation of Independent Trade Unions, and so on. And in recent times, you would have had the role or the support of, for example, of the Public Services Association and the Oilfield Workers Trade Union and a number of unions who took the position that now was the time to support the United National Congress. And if we do the appropriate research, the United National Congress was born out of a struggle for peace, bread, and social justice. It was the United Labor Front, which was primarily a coming together of oil and sugar and bus and public servants and so on, the working class, in 1975-76. And after the formation of the United Labour Front, you had a number of different political incarnations, such as the National Alliance for Accommodation, then you had the National Alliance for Reconstruction. And then with the breakup of the NAR, you had the emergence of the United National Congress, which I said has always had its root embedded in a struggle for peace, bread, and social justice. And in the 2025 general election, the union movement, the majority of those, decided to give their support to the United National Congress under the leadership of Mrs. Prasad Bisesa. And the labor movement, in consultation with the party, came up with a number of what we would call positions in relation to how the interest of the labor movement and the ordinary persons in the society should be advanced. And in this regard, for example, the Public Services Association was historically opposed from day one to the Trinidad and Tobago Revenue Authority, because they were concerned about whether the union would be allowed to engage in collective bargaining, successorship, upholding of pension rights and years of service and pension benefits. And this was something that the administration of PNM administration of Dr. Prime Minister, former Prime Ministers Dr. Rowley and Stuart Young failed to address, failed to reassure the recognized majority union, and they decided to throw their support behind the United National Congress under the leadership of Mrs. Prasad Bisesa. Also, the labor movement, the Oilfield Workers Trade Union, was concerned about the government's then government's approach to the closure of Petrotrin. They felt that they were never in fully embraced, they were never consulted. They continued to articulate the position that none of the consultants that did a feasibility study on Petrotrin recommended the closure of Petrotrin. They recommended a restructuring of Petrotrin. And even in the successor entities, and when the refinery was closed by the PNM government of Dr. Rowley, the then administration came to the position and concluded that the Oilfield Workers Trade Union, that formed a company by the name of Patriotic Energy, should have been they emerged to be the preferred bidder to restart the refinery. They were taken for a ride by the government. This never became a reality. And the UNC of Mrs. Prasad Bisesa continued the dialogue prior to the general elections of 2025 and committed itself to reviewing in tandem with all the stakeholders and so on, examining the feasibility of restarting the refinery. Today, for example, the Trinidad and Tobago Revenue Authority has been scrapped. There is a commitment to look at restarting the refinery on a phased basis in the context of workers' rights and securing the jobs of workers. The government has committed itself to scrapping the restructuring plan for WASA that was designed to dismiss thousands of workers at WASA. That has been put on hold. In fact, it has been rejected by this administration. And also, for example, the last government seemed to have been willing to wholeheartedly embrace the recommendations of the Regulated Industries Commission as it relates to increasing electricity and water rates in Trinidad and Tobago. That too has been put on hold has been rejected by this administration of Mrs. Prasad Bisesa. I know for a fact, too, that I am part of the motoring public, and throughout the length and breadth of our motorists were up in arms about the demerit point system and how it was being allegedly abused by licensing officers, and people were being targeted and so on, motorists, for the simplest of infringements and so on. And these things have all been scrapped at this point in time so that the government could take a more people-friendly approach, worker-friendly approach in meeting and treating with the issues that I'm impacting upon the citizens of Trinidad and Tobago, especially from a cost-of-living point of view. And so.
All right, nice. So I know your job is, of course, basically, and trade unions to look out for their members, the public servants. But in terms of us as the public, I mean, we the public have a lot of grouses with, you know, certain times when you go to do business in a lot of these ministries. For example, why is it at lunchtime everybody had to go for lunch? We have a shift system where, you know, between, well, let's say that I myself am working, and I the only time I may get to go on to do a simple transaction maybe at lunchtime. Why is it somebody can't be there, a simple thing like a cashier still in licensing office had to go for lunch, you know, 12 o'clock and the whole place had to lock up? And even stuff, yes, you spoke about traffic. Why can't we have a shift system for, you know, some of these things? Why does everybody have to be coming to work for 8 o'clock? Why can't be 9 to 5? You know, different times. Why not even open on the weekends?
Well, I am sure that the Minister of Labour, by extension, the Minister of Public Administration, and the Prime Minister will continue to look at and listen to the issues that are impacting upon the ordinary citizens of the country. I hear you on the issue of Akasha and probably staggering the working hours. Recently, I listened, I think, to the Minister of Transport, Minister Eli Zakur, who indicated that he was looking at the whole question of an overhaul of the transportation system in Trinidad and Tobago with a view to addressing the whole issue of traffic congestion, the impact upon reaching to work on time and so on. So at the end of the day, I'm sure that as and sometimes these things really do not need cabinet or ministerial intervention. What it needs really is the leadership in the context of heads of division and rostering and meeting and treating with the recognized majority unions. And I'm sure that if indeed the heads of division, those who are charged with the leadership responsibility, can get trade unions where they are recognized majority unions to buy in to the process and so on, I am sure that all and sundry would look at the benefits to the wider population, to the wider Trinidad and Tobago, and continuing to uphold and uplift our country in the context of developed nation status that we all strive to. Because at the end of the day, we want a better Trinidad and Tobago. And I am sure, like you, like myself, like those who are listening, when you go to do your day-to-day transactions, such as renewing your driver's permit, getting a birth certificate, your ID card, a death certificate, your passport, all these things are near and dear to the ordinary citizens of the country. And I am sure that with the passage of time, the government of Trinidad and Tobago will continue to listen, will continue to consult, to look at how these things, how these offices can be made more citizen-friendly and more user-friendly in the context of reducing the waiting time, reducing the inconvenience and frustration. And at the end of the day, all these things, when you make it more efficient, when there is a service delivery environment, it helps to contribute to the overall productivity and the economic development of the country.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Of course, for those of you all just joining us, we're talking to Mr. Rudnath Indarasinghe, former president of the All Trinidad Sugar and General Workers Trade Union. In terms of some industries that could come back to Trinidad and Tobago, do you think the sugar industry could come back? I know they're talking about rice. What are some things that we could bring back there to help and diversify and grow the economy?
Well, I've heard the Minister of Finance, I've heard the Minister of Planning and so on. I've also heard the Minister of Agriculture. In the context, the Minister of Trade and Investment, all of them, and at the end of the day, we have to address the issue of the diversification of Trinidad and Tobago's economy. In addition to the Minister of Energy and Energy Industries looking at how to attract foreign direct investment into the energy sector, especially from a land exploration point of view of oil, increasing the production in natural gas and so on. We need, I recently saw where the Minister of Agriculture was meeting with the Indian High Commissioner in terms of looking at new seedlings and varieties of rice into Trinidad and Tobago's rice industry. The whole question of the revitalization or the revival of the sugar industry that will need a policy position point of view from the government and involvement with stakeholders, probably smaller farmers at a reduced scale. I don't know what will be the policy position. And of course, in terms of attracting foreign direct investment and boosting the small and medium-sized business sector industries in the country, all these things can help to develop what we would call and address the issue of the diversification of the economy of Trinidad and Tobago. And I'm sure that these things will continue to be discussed from a policy point of view. And with the passage of time, as the government settles down, they have not made 3 months in office as yet, or 100 days, but I'm sure that we will continue to hear from the Prime Minister, Mrs. Prasad Bisesa, and of course the ministers who are charged with the responsibility of driving the economy, the Minister of Finance, the Minister of Planning, the Minister of Energy and Energy Industries, and the Minister of Agriculture and so on, and Trade and Investment. These are in addition to the other ministries that make the composition of the cabinet and by extension the government of Trinidad and Tobago. And in addition to that, there are a number of state entities or state enterprises that are under the different ministries. And I am sure that with the passage of time, ministers of government will continue to unravel and reveal to the population of Trinidad and Tobago, in addition to the policy position at the cabinet level, what is being rolled out from a policy point of view and implemented by the respective state enterprises.
What about in terms of immigration and immigrants? We'll be taking some calls in a short while, folks, at 625-2257, 627-3223. What about in terms of the immigrants and immigration? You know, we have a lot of the Venezuelans, they're here working. People say they're taking all the jobs. They're already taking all the jobs. Or just, we always say this thing that Trinis don't want to work. What are your views on that?
Well, as I said, all economies in the world, if we look at it from a global point of view, we look at it from a regional point of view, we look at it from a historical point of view, are dependent on migrant labor. If we go back in history, the very fact that, I mean, we did not, it was not by design or by freedom that indeed, when the sugar industry existed here, labor came from, it was forced labor, it was slavery, it was not something that we approved of from the point of view of labor supply coming from the African continent. That when that there was the abolition of slavery and emancipation came, then we tried with the Germans, the Portuguese, the Chinese. That was not as successful. Then you had the emergence of indentureship and primarily those from Uttar Pradesh and Bihar in India. Fast forward to the 60s and 70s and the emergence of the oil industry in Trinidad and Tobago, you had a number of persons from the West Indies, especially from Grenada and St. Vincent and so on, the smaller islands, who came to work on the in the oil industry in Trinidad and Tobago. And with the passage of time, we have had always migrant labor, not only from, well, given the political crisis in Venezuela, but you would have migrant labor when you go to the relevant state institutions. Sometimes you go to the hospital within the private security system and so on. You would, in interacting with security personnel, especially in the context of the fast food industry and so on, the restaurant catering and so on, you would sometimes detect that there are persons from Jamaica, there are persons from Barbados, Guyana, from as far as the African continent. And in our health system too, you have Cubans, you have Indians, you have Nigerian doctors and so on, who are working in Trinidad and Tobago. So the issue of migrant labor has to be addressed. And of course, if my memory serves me right, this administration, in terms of its plans, indicated that there's the need to formalize a migrant labor policy, migrant labor policy, and by extension, look at what conventions and recommendations are there existing in the context of the International Labor Organization and within the framework of tripartism and consultation, that is labor, government, and business, to really formalize a migrant labor policy and probably move to the next stage of what we would call laws or legislation to address this issue, just like sexual harassment in the workplace and also a child labor policy in the country too.
All right, folks, you're getting ready to take some calls. And what are some things that, let's go to the phone lines right away. Hello, good afternoon.
Mace, good afternoon to you. Good afternoon, Mr. Inderasing.
Good afternoon, sir.
Right, so I hear you explaining a lot of things. But I have about probably 3 to 4 questions.
So much, Your Honor, Junior.
Yeah. One, what have you, beside the highway named by government in favor of Mr. Renzi, what have you all left as something we can identify with by the union? That is one. The second thing, negotiation, I see that you're praising this government. On the first stage of the government from 2010 to 2015, Mr. Roger, as part of the OWTU, had a problem to get negotiation going, so much so that he was told to wind to the side. What makes it different on this occasion? That is two. The third thing, it's only three. The union seems to be having the government as the MOU, in that Carney Limited was closed down, but you all never choose to buy it, and the refinery was closed down, and OW couldn't buy it. Where do you all do other than being members of union? And if it closed down, what other investment you all could have done to really include the workers to shape continuity outside of government, being the MOU? I'll listen to you off here.
All right. Firstly, let me deal with the issue of besides the highway. I think he said I could remember the old Trinidad Sugar and General Workers Trade Union renaming the headquarters of the union after Adrian Kola Rienzi, and Rienzi Complex continues to be a landmark building in the context of honoring the legacy of Adrian Kola Rienzi. The OWTU has had many what I would call places named after Tubal Rivera Buzz Butler. His gravesite is in Faizabad. A number of their buildings and so on are named after Tubal Rivera Buzz Butler, and from a historical point of view, CLR James and other persons who have contributed in the context of we have the Cipriani College of Lebanon Cooperative Studies and so on, that is named, that is a government entity, but it is really along the lines of a governed by a tripartite concept where there is a board under which comprises of what we call labor and government and the business community in the Trinidad and Tobago, the Cipriani College of Labor and Cooperative Studies. I am not here to praise this government. I am
here. I believe you're getting some calls there, son. That's a. When you get a call there, it's, you're going out.
Yeah, it's a very, very important call. Could I be excused for a minute?
You want to be excused? Excuse for a minute. Okay, you can excuse and come back in. No problem. You can go and come back in, right? All right, so we'll take a minute for him to answer a call there. We'll take a break, folks, and we'll come back.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
All right, so we're back. Mr. Narasinghe, back with us?
Yeah.
All right, nice, yeah. Man. Right, so let's get those scores come back. You're finishing up something there, yeah.
I did not address, trying to recollect the second issue about Carney and the Petrotrin issue. Now, I could tell you, when Carney was closed by the government of the day, at that point in time, being part of the union at that time had engaged Dr. Danisha Mahabir, the head of the economics department, and Dr. Rudan Munilal, who came up with a policy position and a plan by the government that was entitled Prospects and Proposals for the Restructuring of Carney 1975 Limited. We had articulated to the Ghanaian government that the whole position should be 51-49% with the government retaining the majority shareholding, getting the private sector involved in with 49%, breaking up the company, establishing a holding company, strategic business units such as one with the field engineering, one with the refinery, one with the rum distillery, and so on. And this was totally rejected by the government of Prime Minister, then Prime Minister Patrick Manning. In the context of the refinery, I know for a fact, and this can be further clarified with Mr. Roger and the officials of the Oilfield Workers Trade Union, that there was a commitment when the government took the position. None of the consultants, as I said, recommended. The government had paid consultants over $63 million to examine the whole restructuring of Petrotrin. And none of the consultants recommended the closure of Petrotrin. The government disregarded all the recommendations and they took the position they were going to close Petrotrin. The union at the point in time formed a company by the name of Patriotic Energies. The government invited a number of entities locally, regionally, and internationally to bid. And Patriotic Energies was identified as the preferred bidder. For some reason, that did not bear fruit and did not become a reality under the government of Prime Minister Dr. Keith Rowley and Prime Minister Young. And that is what I know in terms of what was in the public domain. And I remember Minister Imbert with much glee when he was the Minister of Finance in a parliamentary sitting. He revealed that Patriotic Energies was the successful or preferred bidder to move the refinery or to restart the refinery. And he was so ecstatic. Go back and check the parliamentary records and Hansard, where he said that it is only a PNM government will ensure that let those who labor hold the reins of power, and is in his glee and ecstasy, he nearly fell over the parliamentary table and so on.
Nice. Let's take some more calls. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
And to your host there, I know for a fact they will name the campus after Kamala. What do you think they should name after all in Trinidad? I don't
know. Let me take our next call. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Biz.
Mm-hmm.
Your guest, Rudy, embarrassing. Let me tell you something, Biz. Before he became a big minister and MP, he used to call me Eric and thing, you know, on another show with Sadro. He was my real partner at the time, but after he become a big job, you can't see him at all. The man invisible, boy.
Mr. Eric,
Rudy and I say,
Eric, I am as visible.
Let me come with a question, right? Rudy,
yes,
I am 65 years old. Let me ask you a question. How long are we going to carry on in this country with this? People talk about those who labor that hold the reins. The people in the BRR, they labor. How come it is they could be sitting next to people who are making deals on the outside and robbing the country of money? And when they rob the country of these money, billions of dollars, they come and they're crying because they only get 4%. They get 4% because the people who are supposed to be doing the work not doing the work. How come it is you could take a job, swear to carry out your job with honesty and integrity, and you assist people in robbing the state, taking money out of the mouth of babes and sucklings? And then tell me that the BIR is a good thing to keep. When will we catch these crooks, Rudy, who are stealing the money and we cannot pay the workers more than 4%? And listen to your comments.
Mr. Eric, I have been as visible as I could have been in my 34 years of public life, whether I was in the trade union movement, a minister of government, or as a member of parliament. And I still continue to be visible. And you have made the pronouncement that there are persons who continue to rob and steal. I know for a fact that indeed, if you have, I don't know if you have specific persons that you know of. I have no knowledge to say that. And I'm sure that if people are guilty of robbing the state, misappropriation of funds, tax evasion and so on, there are laws, there are reports to be made and to bring in the appropriate law enforcement personnel to deal with whatever wrongdoing. And I am not here to tell you or tell anybody that anybody who runs afoul of the law in this country must not be made to feel the brunt of the law, in keeping with due process and in keeping with the laws of Trinidad and Tobago. And I am sure that there is the need to staff the BIR. There is the need to make it more people friendly and so on, in terms of dealing not only with citizens, but dealing with companies, who you have said and you have stated that continue to rob and steal the public's purse and so on. As I said, I have no problem with persons or companies who are involved in wrongdoing, but we cannot make carte blanche statement without presenting the facts and having people or persons or companies being brought before the laws of Trinidad and Tobago, in keeping with the law enforcement of the country. This evening, I am sure that we all look forward to the formal installation. I've been told, I've been reading in the newspapers that there is a new commissioner of police and there will be a handing over process and so on. And I am sure that having had the support of the government and all the legislators within the Parliament of Trinidad and Tobago, the new commissioner of police will do his utmost or his endeavor best to continue to lead by example and to build on what has been in the making or what was done under acting deputy commissioner of police, acting commissioner, sorry, Junior Benjamin, and continue to build the morale, the self-esteem of the police service of this country with a view to not only dealing with what we would call hardcore criminals, but to look at whether there is wrongdoing at all levels of the society.
All right, we take some more calls here, and we have your WhatsApp messages as well. Let me read our WhatsApp here. Good afternoon, BS. The guest mentioned about Petrotrin is the truth. There were two reports submitted to the past regime. One was called Solomon, and the Lashley report both advised the then government the solution was not to shut down Petrotrin. It was a management problem. The finance minister at the time did boast of allowing Patriotic to run Petrotrin. These things are recorded. So if anyone has doubts, do your research and stop spreading propaganda. All right, let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon. I lost that one. Hello, good day. All right, 627-322-3625-2257. We'll keep Mr. Indar Singh about a couple of minutes again. Hello, good afternoon.
Is Mr. Indar Singh still there?
Yeah, he's still there, yeah.
Mr. Indar Singh, I know you mentioned something on your relation to people being brought before the law based on Eric's question. Now, you know over the world, you're a man that travels. So you know that certain laws guarantees one more protection with government revenue. The Revenue Authority allowed that based on the type of people we had working there. Why would you want to revert to the Board of Inland Revenue model where in the past several people have been charged with taking money from our country with that model? Why would you all want to revert to that? I listen.
Well, this has nothing to do with whether it is a model under the TTRA or the Board of Inland Revenue or Customs and Excise and so on. I am saying that we have to be forthright. Whatever institutions or entities exist in the country, we must be able to, if we feel of wrongdoing, misappropriation of funds, and we want to bring them before the judicial system of the country, we must ensure that when we initiate such actions, the evidence that we acquire, it is waterproof. It could be upheld in the courts of Trinidad and Tobago, and it is not that when we have to file documents and so on in furtherance of matters that are before the courts that they collapse. Look what has happened with the whole question of the civil matter and those who were charged as it relates to the Bindra Naipaul Coolman issue. A file disappeared. The persons who were charged with the responsibility on behalf of the state under the office of the Attorney General at the point in time, Reginald Amo, apparently, because the ultimate responsibility always lies with the head. And nobody could tell me about, there were officers under his charge and his jurisdiction, but or under his purview. But at the end of the day, we all have to take responsibility and leadership and to ensure that when we all speak about white-collar crime, those within the hardcore criminal system and so on, we want people before the judicial system of the country. But we must ensure that the evidence that we accumulate, the investigative techniques which are pursued by law enforcement, are indeed evidence accumulation that could stand up in the courts of Trinidad and Tobago. And I'm sure that we all look forward to that being carried out in the proper manner.
All right, 217 on time, 625-2257, 6273-223. We're talking trade union movement. What are some of the things that, you would see being done different in the labor movement now, what should be done different now than in the past, at least for the past 10 years?
As I said, part of there will always be a role for labor. Labor will always continue to agitate and so on. It is how the labor leaders of the period of 2025 and beyond will have to assess the whole global economy, the economy within the region, that of Trinidad and Tobago, to understand, as I said, what are the important things in addition to the whole question of the collective bargaining process. What could I do differently in improving the compensation package of my members? What could I do to improve their housing? What could I agitate for in terms of a better healthcare system, pension? What I could do in terms of understanding the challenges of artificial intelligence, mental health, even substance abuse is a big issue, because substance abuse impacts upon an individual's level of absenteeism or present in the workplace. It also, when a person is a victim of substance abuse in this country, it impacts on the home environment. It destabilizes the stability of the home, children's education, welfare and well-being, the spouse's welfare and well-being within the society and so on. How is the workplace safer in terms of workplace accidents and the overall level of national security in Trinidad and Tobago and so on, against the backdrop of what also exists within the within the system or environment of CARICOM? What do I want to see in terms of a better education system? Because a better education system to meet the challenges of the diversification, the impact of technology, the impact of artificial intelligence and so on, you need, the labor movement has to articulate an advanced position so that it can influence policy positions, which will reshape and redefine a better Trinidad and Tobago, not only for the labor movement, but for the business community. Because when you have a more committed labor movement, you have a more efficient and dedicated labor movement. It helps to build not only the public service environment, it helps to build the private sector companies and entities within the country to address the whole issue of service delivery in the restaurant and food and catering industries and so on. So at the end of the day, you improve the overall environment of the country.
Thank you very much, sir, for a great interview there, and all the best to you.
Thank you very much, Bass, and thank you very much to your listening audience on Freedom 106.5 FM. And I take the opportunity to wish not only the labor movement, but the business community, the government, because labor is part of the social dialogue, the tripartite concept in Trinidad and Tobago. Best wishes for Labor Day as we reflect on the relevance and importance of the labor movement against the backdrop of 1934-1937 labor riots, where we are in 2025, where we need to go beyond 2025, and also a happy Corpus Christi to the, especially the Roman Catholic community, as we observe Labor Day and Corpus Christi in Trinidad and Tobago this coming Thursday and Friday.
All right, thank you very much, sir. All right, Mr. Rudy and our Singh, bye.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.